It's brilliant. It's so stupid, it's fucking genius. And I love that type of shit.
We're getting like our dying days WCW and this season combined.
Yes, they're starting to roll together.
Feeling good. He humps the ring a few times for good measure.
Doesn't have to be all fucking glittery dick nards everywhere, right?
Lots happened since our last show. Judgment Day. Judgment Day.
His damn wizards is a wicked one. He's allowed to say, no, Kane, I don't want to do that.
He seemed okay with it.
Give me some happy guys. Everybody that's there doesn't want to fucking be there. He should be used for breeding at this point. He's so fucking good.
Pretty bad botch here that I'm going to blame on Jeff Hardy. I didn't even want to watch the match.
He's dead. Look at him. He's dead. POV, I'm getting drilled by The Undertaker. Drill me, dead man. Drill me. I don't get on all fours and go, come on. Get on me. Get on top of me and I'm going to beat you off.
He gets down in the position a couple times. Oh, yeah.
This match is so fucking good. I mean, I'm sitting there with a hard on.
And he grabs a fucking piece of plywood.
I'll be in the ring. Send him to the ring. I'll be in the ring. I'll tell him you're at the ring. Hollywood!
Drop their face in the game.
The fuck are you talking about? It doesn't matter if he gave up. And then he's going to spit in its face and beat it even more until it spits back in his face. WCW, where? You think you know me? You fucking blow me.
You would have liked if he would have just given it to one of the guys and screwed the other guy?
Yep. In association with the Shining Wizards Network, Gorilla Brain Wrestling Podcast presents...
Year of Duke and Rogue. I'm your host, Duke Bags.
And some Kevin.
And today we're going to be covering WWF King of the Ring 2001. This son of a bitch took place live on June 24, 2001 from that Continental Airlines Arena in East Rutherford, New Jersey. This is the 9th annual King of the Ring show and 15th tournament overall to crown the king. I actually got some memories from this show, man.
Do you? Were you there?
I was there in spirit.
Gotcha. That's better than not being there at all, I suppose. I got a lot of memories of this show, too. One memory I did not have was the dark open. That open was super dark. And then going right in, like, we don't have a sponsor. Like, did RC Cola lose faith? They're not here anymore? Like, there was no brought to you by, you know, Skechers or 1010-220 or RC Cola, Snickers. Nothing.
All right. The only endorsement I seen was that WWF New York jean jacket that JR had.
Right. And I don't, yeah. And that's, I mean, I think that's not bringing the King of the Ring to you. Why do you suppose people stayed away from the King of the Ring? There had to be a sponsor ready.
Could have been that intro, man. Maybe the intro freaked him out.
It was too dark.
Yeah. It was like, you know, there was a lot of snakes and a lot of references to, you know, the throne.
Well, how about this? Brought to you by Hot Topic, right? All the freak show shop there. They love the dark shit.
They could have had, like, a King of the Ring 2001 shirt, right?
That would have been a good cross-branding opportunity.
So their taglines are, for this one, is, my muscles ache, my mind is spent, my body's broken, lead me to the throne.
I thought it was going to say, why don't you get bent? That would have been a better hand there. Right? All these rhyming, and then what is that? Is that a haiku or a haku?
Oh, man, haku, former King of the Ring himself.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think that's a haku, though, or a haiku. I don't know what type of a Edgar Allan Poe gimmick that is, but if at the end of it they said, you know, why don't you get bent, I think that's fun.
I don't think they were going for fun, though. I think they were going for seriousness here.
But you could also tell somebody to get bent seriously.
You could.
Isn't get bent like a PG version of fuck you?
I think it's got the same kind of connotation. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. I haven't heard of get bent in a while.
Yeah, I think for a while I was going to bring it back a little ways ago, but I never really fully committed. Maybe I will commit to it this time. I'm going to bring Get Bent back.
I just tell Big Al to get bent on your vacation. See how it goes.
I'm not going to tell Tropic Al what to do. All right. Why don't you get bent? Telling me what to do. You can get bent. Why don't you get bent? Why don't you go fuck your hand? I hope you get what you're looking for.
Oh, me too, man. On Heat, we had Matt Hardy successfully defending that European title against Justin Credible. I got to ask, anything come in the mail yet?
No, still nothing in the mail, but I have kind of enjoyed reaching out to people that have reached out to him when he posts things online that, you know, you can donate to the Polacco Fund. I've also been messaging those people to let them know that they might just be donating to the Polacco Fund. Then I see him repost it. It's still available. I'm like, yeah, sure it is. You know, I'm just kind of being a good Samaritan.
I'm sure they appreciate you.
Yeah.
So tonight we got the King of the Ring semifinals featuring, we got four guys who are kind of in an alliance. We got Edge and Christian along with Kurt Angle and Rhino. I think they call him Team Wreck. Right?
Team Wreck. Like Rhino, Edge, and Christian?
Yeah.
Where does Kurt come in? Oh, is it R-E-C-K maybe?
R-E... I bet it is.
That would make sense.
I bet it is.
Yeah, spelling's a real strong suit of mine.
So we got Kurt looking to defend his kingship, and JR and Paul E say multiple times nobody's ever won the thing twice. I think they're wrong.
Yeah.
Didn't Bret the Hitman won twice? Win twice?
Yes, he did. He won twice and winned twice.
Man, they're just trying to erase him. That's a shame. The other big thing we got going here, besides three-way dance for the world title, we got DDP invading. He wants The Undertaker to make him famous. That's the first thing we see here. Comes out with that leather trench coat with the shades and all the black gear. He's been stalking The Undertaker's wife. So we've had a little more time in between this show and the last one than the previous one. So there's been some action happening.
So I think we found out who's been calling Taker's wife, and it wasn't William Regal.
No, he was falsely accused.
So he's owed an apology.
I think he is, but I don't think the Taker's the kind to dish out the apology.
Would that make you like Taker more if he went to Regal's office? Just like, said, hey, man to man, just want to tell you I'm sorry.
It'd add another layer to the character.
I think it would make me like him more, yeah.
Yeah. So DDP, he says Taker should be thankful that he only showed the PG footage that he's been taking of his wife on SmackDown.
Because the stuff in his personal collection is more than two thumbs up. I wish he would have given us a bang there.
He's talking about spanking it to his personal collection of his wife's.
No, he's not talking about spanking it. You're making assumptions. He's saying that it gives him an erection.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you think he's going to do with that, man?
What is he going to do with it? I don't know. Probably beat it like it's spit in his face.
That's what I'm saying.
And then he's going to spit in its face and beat it even more until it spits back in his face.
I mean, this is... What do you think of this? Paige coming in, going for the big dog in the yard.
I like Taker and DDP. I like DDP coming in and being right into that, like, Taker level. Like, that seems a good spot, right? You get to come in and your first feud is with Taker. That's huge. I don't like the creative behind it. It doesn't... DDP to me is not a heel. Like, even when he worked heel in the beginning, and when he worked heel towards the end of WCW... Like, his best stuff was as a face. He is a fantastic face. He's a great, good guy.
People's champion.
Right. So to bring him in as... And that's the thing, too. Like, why don't you wait and do him in The Rock? People's champion versus people's champion. The champion of the people. Do the people's belt. But like just making him be this weird stalker character just does not fit. It really doesn't. So I like the idea of him and Taker. I don't like the creative of him and Taker.
You like him or Barry Windham better as the stalker?
I like his work better as a stalker because, you know, he was looking for boobs, and I'm still not sure what Windham was looking for.
It would have been pretty hilarious if DDP had, like, the camo paint on his face.
God, that's so fucking horrible. Fucking vignettes of him by campfires in the woods.
He's got the helmet with the leaves on it.
Right.
I do like some of the stuff Paige is doing here, though, because he brings a sign with him, right? It's like, make me famous, Taker. However, I noticed there are several other people who have make me famous signs
right
in the crowd. So
maybe there's a line forming.
I mean, a sign that I saw that, you know, I didn't look into, but it's worth looking into. WrestlingFigure.com. The front row.
WrestlingFigure.com. I didn't catch it. You would think that I would catch that. I didn't catch that.
You'd think so, but yeah, Paul E, he doesn't like DDP or WCW. He's calling them out here. They don't got a match scheduled or anything, but
well, he's going to be right. He's going to be front row.
He's going to be there with the
sign.
He'll
be there, right? So if when Taker arrives, he'll know because it's Diamond Dallas Page is in the front row. Like, he wouldn't know that it was DDP in the front row if DDP didn't just come out and say, hey, I've got video footage of your wife that gives me a fucking boner. I'm going to be over here. What do you say, Taker?
Come and get me.
Right. He could have literally just showed up, sat down, not said a fucking thing, and just said the camera would have panned out. They would have said, hey, holy butt fuckers, is that DDP? Yeah, I think it is DDP. Is that the guy that's been getting an erection from Undertaker's wife? Yeah, I'm sure it is. He's got a moonstem for days over this personal collection that he's got of footage that he's taken. You know, it's probably illegal. Maybe we should just arrest him.
I hadn't thought of that, but
I don't even want to say it's probably illegal. It's definitely fucking illegal.
Yeah, I don't think he can go be filming X-rated stuff without consent.
Well, and they'd have to prove that he's filmed X-rated stuff, right?
Well, that's in his personal collection, though.
Right. You think his entire personal collection is X-rated stuff?
That's what he's leading us to believe.
I wonder if there's shades of this character that's true. Like, he's got personal collection like the Nitro Girls and Miss Elizabeth. Linda McMahon and such.
Is he selling you? Is the stock real?
No, still no. That's unacceptable behavior. Like, you can't do that, right? And plus, it's 2001. Okay, it's 2001. You have the internet. You have a lot of access to a lot of varieties online at any given time, right? They're just a fingertip away. Why would you go through all the hassle of buying a camcorder, sneaking around, right? It seems like a lot of work just to get the poison out. Right. Well, that's the thrill. So you're telling me that he can't bust that tough nut unless he puts the work in first, right?
Well, plus he wants to get made famous, right?
Okay.
So there's that.
Gotcha.
You ain't going to get made famous just, you know, diddly-daddling on your own on the online.
No, but he could suck the president's dick.
Who are we talking here? George W.?
I don't know. I mean, Lewinsky, right? Oh, super yeah. Famous, right?
Right.
Why?
Right.
Because she, you know, she tossed a blowy out there. She all threw right. She threw some throat for the prez. So if he's that committed, right, maybe he should just throw some throat.
Maybe that's plan B.
It's good to have plans. It's weird that they're all sexual, though. Like, what's he, maybe he should just, like, go to trade school and become, like, the world's greatest welder, right? Like, do something legal, right?
Man, let me ask you, who's the best welder in the world?
No idea.
There you go. He ain't okay. Famous.
Well, maybe he could go into investments. Maybe he could become Charles Schwab.
All right. Like a JBL type of thing?
Right. Right. Okay, now we're on to something. There should be other avenues for him. Maybe nobody sat down and let him know, like, hey, guy, if you really want to get famous, you don't got to go around with this camcorder and sneaking around and doing all this illegal stuff. there's better ways.
Well,
also, there's hookers.
Gets the job done.
So,
yeah. Well, there are those. Outside of DDP wanting to get famous, there's a rumor floating around that Benoit and or Jericho have been in talks with WCW, and if one of them wins, they might be joining up with Shane. That's the speculation.
There's a lot of speculation.
First off, we got Kurt Angle trying to defend his kingship, taking on Christian. Good to see that Kurt's got his medals back.
Yeah.
Got a semifinal match here. The winner's going to take on the winner of Edge and Rhino in a Gore versus Gore match coming up next. Looking forward to that. So he's also got Shane tonight in a street fight. Full plate for King Kurt.
Yeah. Yeah. When I saw Kurt with his medals, like everything's back intact. Like I watched this on a, I think it was a Monday Night Raw. They redid the ceremony. And I know the timeline doesn't match up, but God, I really wanted to hear like him with his medals and him go, "I am complete." And they had ENC in the background going, "Fuck."
That would have worked.
Yeah, I thought it would have been fun, but the timeline's not even close.
But there's a lot of chance going in this match. I couldn't quite make them out though.
You're talking about Angle and Christian.
Yeah,
pretty good match, right? I liked it. I was enjoying watching it. The referee just wouldn't get the guys in the ring for a while. That kind of bothered me. Don't be that liberal with the rules. Christian goes flying from the top rope to the outside. That was he's very committed to those bumps when he does them, and they look great. He's kind of a stud even back then.
Yeah, nobody really flies to the outside like he does.
No, and then you get Shane. Shane shows up with a damn WCW shirt, and he walks down from the back. Does that bother you at all?
He's creating a distraction.
Right, but if he's this WCW guy, he should not be just walking down from the back. You got a shitload of WWE guys back there, WWF guys at the time. Don't you think somebody would have been like, "Hey, motherfucker, you're not going out there"? Not with that WCW shit. That ain't happening, not on my watch. Right, where's Taker? Why is he not protecting the yard?
Do you think he should be hanging out ringside with Paige?
With DDP, maybe, yeah. Maybe he's actually funding DDP's ventures. I don't know. It didn't.
Bottom of the camera?
He could have. He has some money. So that part really fucking bugged me. I don't know why. Maybe you didn't think it was as weird as I did. I caught me fucking right in the "what the fuck are we doing" feels.
Maybe it came out like an AEW, they got a heel entrance. Maybe WCW's got their own little entrance.
We would have seen it. You know? Like, I don't care that he comes down to interfere, but, like, part of me is like, am I that fucking stupid?
You're not buying the intermingling in the back?
No.
They're just going to let him walk out there?
Right.
Well, Kurt gets distracted a little bit, rightfully so, but then he goes for a huge moonsault and misses. Christian gets some offense in, can't quite finish him off. Get Angle locking in, an ankle lock. And he goes for the Olympic slam. Christian nails the unprettier, appears to have it won, and then Shane pulls his legs, breaking the fall. Angle hits an angle slam, gets the win, and advances.
So the angle slam is really a nice touch, too, because it was from the outside of the ring to the inside of the ring.
Right, right.
So, and that was a nice touch. That was one of those things where you're like, okay, a little creative way to do the angle slam. I always take that. Creative ways to apply the same move, but just a little bit different. Looks cool. I'm in.
So the guys at the booth, they're baffled by Shane getting involved here, but I guess it makes sense to have him wrestle another match before he gets Shane.
Right.
We see a smirk from Shane. I see a Kurt Angle has butt implant sign. I think he's just like in real good shape.
You don't think there's actually ass plants?
I don't think so.
You're probably right. He probably just is in really good shape.
We see Austin and Deborah in the back. Coach comes in to get his thoughts on that triple threat. Steve wonders where Vince is. Expects him to be there. Says he still loves Vince as much as Vince loves him. Coach wants to know what he thinks about that rumor that, the Chris's are going to take that WCW belt, go to the other team, and he gives a confused stare. He's a little troubled that Vince isn't there.
This is actually real starts of the shades of the comedic brilliance of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Because he asks him that question. And Austin, like, without hesitation, goes, "Where?" And then just gives him a fucking moment of silence. Go to WCW. Where? he fucking hurt him, right? And then he doesn't follow up with shit. Where? And fucking nothing. Why is it that ridiculousness like this is so fucking funny? It's brilliant. It's so stupid. It's fucking genius. And I love that type of shit, man. I love that type of shit. WCW, where?
I thought the best part was when he was talking about him loving Vince as much as Vince loves him.
Right.
Just like slid it in there.
Yeah, oh yeah, which is good too. But man, just that the simple things that just fucking it hit me so right, man. I might start doing that. Like just like when Tropical's picking me up from the airport, he's like, we're gonna head up to, I don't know where the fuck we're going, Betty Mays. Oh, we're going to Betty Mays. Where?
Kind of a foreshadowing to the what, right?
It's a little bit ahead of the what, yeah.
Has gotten to the right like preposition yet? He'll get there. Yeah. We get a taste of the Undertaker and his wife, the DDP saga. Somebody's been stalking Sarah. Taker's pissed. That mystery man rode a bike down to reveal himself to be DDP. Never saw it coming. I probably didn't see that coming back in 2001.
I didn't.
Says he wants to make an impact by going to the biggest, baddest dog in the yard. And Taker vows to deliver the biggest ass kicking ever. Paul Lee goes to interview DDP ringside. Says that he has balls. We're shown some footage of Paige at the local diner. Looks like the stalker's got himself a stalker. He once again begs to be famous. So that's a little, now DDP's acting like he's being violated. Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, it's the good for the goose, good for the gander. I did think it was weird that it was like just him having coffee, though.
Though he had some thirst.
Well, I'm just saying, like, as far as being violated, like, he's just having coffee.
Yeah, there wasn't any X-rated material there.
No. You think that Sarah's got her own personal collection with the Undertaker? Maybe. He's got his own personal collection? Or maybe Undertaker's like, you know what I'm thinking? He's enjoying this filming so much, maybe I'll check it out, see what it's all about here. Maybe I'll go choke slam my peignoir.
Wonder if the stalker's going to follow him into the bathroom later on. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Next up, we got that other semifinal between Edge and Rhino. You think you know me?
You think you know me? You think you know me? You think you know me? You fucking blow me.
Man, he's got a pretty wild, shiny black leather cape coat on.
The old cape coat, huh?
Oh, yeah. He's feeling good. He humps the ring a few times for good measure. You like that?
Well, you just got to show it who's boss, right? It's a dominance thing.
Well, yeah, of course. Paul Lee says he doesn't find that stocking funny at all. We get an ECW chant. which I'm sure Paul Lee does like.
Yeah.
Final ECW champion Rhino's in there. Edge hits a nice spinning heel kick. A lot of back and forth between the former allies, now opponents. They battle to the outside, and Rhino goes for a pile driver. Doesn't get it. Instead, he gets his nads straddled on the guardrail. Refs let these guys go. As the same thing with the first match. Like, they've been outside for a very long time.
Liberal. Real liberal with the rules. The other thing that I noticed, too, and obviously, you know, liberal with the rules here, but these are back-to-back heel versus heel matches to start the card.
Oh, yeah.
That feels weird to me. And you had DDP,
all the good guys.
DDP come out for his segment as well, also a heel. And you had Austin in the back being interviewed, also a heel. So we're very heel heavy at the beginning of this.
The Rock is gone. He's nowhere to be found.
Right.
Who's going to save the day, man?
Maybe me.
You coming?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So Edge takes a few nasty tosses into that security barrier on the outside. And the man beast takes off a middle turnbuckle pad. Throws Edge sternum first into the exposure there.
So it worked.
It did.
He got he's the exception. This time it worked.
Just wait.
Yeah. All right. All right.
And I figured you'd like this one. Rhino locks in one of the oldest holds in the book. That full body scissor.
Now, you say you figure I'd like this one, and I want to point out how well you know me, because I write down body scissors fucking nice.
I knew it, man.
It doesn't have to be all splash, right? It doesn't have to be all fucking glittery dick nards everywhere, right? It doesn't have to be a bunch of ass and titties jumping off the top rope. Sometimes it's just gonna be a fucking simple body scissors. And it satisfies, man.
It was satisfactory.
Were you satisfied?
I enjoyed seeing it.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Edge got out of it. And he took a kitchen sink, which I also enjoyed. Nasty kitchen sink.
Love that.
The big guy goes on top and connects with a big splash. Only gets a two. That could have been it.
Yeah.
I would have been all right with, you know, big guy Rhino flying. Big splash. But no.
Yeah, rhinos don't fly, and he did. So, yes, I would have been okay with it, too.
Edge isn't done yet. It's one of those atomic drops. Goes up top, but gets caught by the man beast. He connects with a sunset flip P-bomb for close two. Rhino gets back in control. He's going for the gore. Edge goes for the spear, and they collide.
That was fucking gnarly. Man, if a spot has ever made me worried about things that had happened in the past, that is one that did it. I didn't remember the spot. It happened. And when it happened, I just went, are they okay? Like, somebody check on them. This event happened fucking 23 years ago. And here I am watching it going, somebody should check on them, make sure they're all right. That looked gnarly, man.
The rare spear versus gore face off. Nobody won that one.
Nobody won.
Rhino gets up first. He goes for the gore, and Edge moves. The big man hits that exposed turnbuckle. Edge hits DDT to pick up the win, and he'll advance. Chase his buddy Kurt Angle. So Rhino did pay for it there at the end.
Yeah, he ultimately paid.
Thanks for showing Spike and Molly Holly. Pete. Looks like they've been fooling around a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, they're playing a little game of... You show me yours, I'll show you mine.
Oh, yeah?
I'll spike
you. You want to see my spike?
Yeah.
Spike challenges the dude leaves for the tag titles tonight. Says he has to find a partner. JR gets on the horn. Spike tells him he's got a partner and it's a surprise. Bub and Devon show up, say Spike's disappointment. We got your main man, Taz.
Love Taz.
Probably being, like, used improperly here. He's in the back with Y2J.
Like, interview guy Taz, yeah.
Is he suffering an injury here? Why is he not out there kicking
it? You know, that's a good question. I don't remember. He very well could be, and it wouldn't surprise me if he was. But it is weird, like, the knock on Taz always been that he was a little too small. And here he is standing right next to Jericho, just as big.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because he's a stocky fella.
Like a stalker?
No, not like PDP. A stalker. No, he doesn't got any, he's got no personal collection. I just think that that's the build. You know what I mean? I think the build is what fucked him over, which kind of sucks because I'm kind of built like Taz.
It's like a Rhino build, right? Rhino's got a little more beef, but
similar. Yeah, similar.
So Y2J is asked about those rumors. He says, yes, he's aware of the rumors. No, he wasn't aware that Taz was aware of the rumors. And that he's going to shut the hell up. Kind of a throwaway. You got his little catchphrase in there, shutting the hell up.
You know, the funny thing is to me, too, is that I know he was trying to be comedic in this.
Failed.
And Austin, on the other hand, was not trying to be comedic. It made me laugh till I shit my pants.
Maybe Austin's better, man.
I think he is.
Next up, we got the Dudley Boys defending their tag titles against Spike and a mystery opponent. So Bubba and Devon, they're out there first. So lots happened since our last show.
Judgment Day.
Judgment Day.
If you'll remember, at that time, the two-man power trip, Triple H and Stone Cold were the tag champs. They lost the titles to Benoit and Y2J. And then, on the following SmackDown, the Dudleys beat Benoit and Y2J with an assist from Stone Cold. So a little hot potato with the tag titles. We got back to a tag team, though, so that was good.
That is good.
And also in that match, we're not going to see Triple H for the rest of the run here because that match on Raw, he pulled his quads all the way off his body or whatever he says on that.
Quads came off of his body?
Isn't that what he said in that Don't Try This at Home vid?
Yeah, I don't think he said quite that, but
something like that.
I don't think that it could be pulled off of his body because then they would no longer be attached to his body. You can pull, like, something off the bone. Oh, yeah. But I don't think that you can pull, like, a quad off the body. Yeah.
Well, that's a bummer, though. Triple H is gone. We got no Rock. It's not the last injury we're going to talk about here. The big surprise partner is none other than Kane. That was a surprise. Two surprises so far.
Yeah. It's a little bit weird, too, because you talk about, like, Taker feuding with DDP, and I could just imagine sitting into that creative meeting. I'm going, okay, we got DDP's coming in. Taker, you're going to be feuding with him, and Kane's sitting back there going, this is main events. DDP's going to take. Well, shit, I'm probably in line then. I should probably be. It's main event and stuff. I should probably be in the title picture, right? Like, Kane, you're going to be teaming up with Spike.
Well, this is
Spike. I love Spike, but it seems very strange, out of place.
It's poor management because Kane is the IC champ. He should be in a separate match.
Yeah, you're right.
Bubba catches Spike in a power slam. Kind of a fun spot where he throws Spike to Kane and Kane throws him back.
Yeah.
Knocks him over.
That's pretty good.
Devon appears to be hurt early on, but he's playing some possum. We get the We Want Tables chant. Oh, they're going to get him. So the Dudleys do a number on Little Spike. Devon hits that big leg drop from the rope. Kane breaks up the fall. Always like that Devon leg drop.
It's a good one.
Spike gets some huge elevation on a backdrop.
That's a better one.
Right, and then a huge monkey flip. Looked like he was going to fly out of the ring.
Yeah, it's awesome. Spike takes bumps great.
One of the great bump takers.
Yeah, you can get a lot of sympathy on him because he is small, But then beyond that, like when you took that back body drop, like, tell me there's a guy that looks like you feel worse for that takes a back body drop. Like he goes fucking flying.
Way up there.
Way up there. Like he could have tagged in Owen Hart. He gets tossed so high.
He did kind of escape the screen, you know?
Right.
Just way up there. Bubba connects with a big P-bomb to Spike. Devon goes for a headbutt, misses. And then Kane gets in there, cleans house, takes out the tag champions, covers Bubba. It looks like he got a three.
Yeah.
I think Devon got in there a little late to break it up.
Yeah.
Crowd boos, and I boo from my couch as well. Kane picks up Spike. I like this, using your partner as a weapon.
You like using your partner as a weapon.
Yeah, Kane picks up Spike, just chucks him over the top, takes out the other two Dudleys.
Okay. I guess if it's both parties are consenting, sure.
But I don't think Spike can really say no.
Well, no, that's the problem. He can't say no. All right, he's allowed to say no. He's allowed to say, no, Kane, I don't want to do that. And Kane should not grab him from that point forward. It should not happen.
Well, he seemed okay with it.
Well, he seemed okay with it. That's not going to hold up in a court of law.
Well, Spike follows it up with what they're calling the Dudley dog. And he gets taken out. The one thing about being a real small man is you can be taken out pretty quickly.
That is true.
And Devon and Bubba connect with the weather. And Spike, the resilient little man, hits a dropkick with one leg on each of his brothers, temporarily subduing him. Then he takes a 3D, and the Bubba and Devon Dudley pick up the win and retain. Afterwards, the table gets brought in the ring. Kane ends up chokeslamming Bubba through the wood. And then he throws a little Spike over his shoulder. It's like a Continental Soldier. Carries him up the aisle.
One final point I want to make on this match. JR not one time said, "There's a Wizards of the Wicked Wood." We did not one fucking time. And I was waiting for it. I even wrote down Wizards of the Wicked Wood because I was going to do a counter. And it was not mentioned once. There was no, "Here's damn Wizards of the Wicked Wood." Not one time. So.
He dropped it.
Pretty quick.
It's the Edge and Christian in the back. I'm okay with him dropping it. I think we established that wasn't a great
take. Bad moniker. Bad moniker.
Christian wishes Edge luck. Good luck, Edge. We see DDP, the stalker, ringside, and we see some more footage of Paige arriving, and he gets irritated. He says, "He's right here, Taker. I'm not up on the screen." Yeah. We see Billy Gunn at WWF New York. JR asks how he feels about the finals of the tournament, and Gunn isn't happy. How do you think he feels? So this WWF New York spot is just like a spot for disgruntled guys now.
I was going to say, they got to stop doing this. Every time they cut to the last two times they cut to WWE or WWF New York, there's guys there that don't want to be there. And if the guys from the roster don't want to be there, why should anybody else want to fucking go? Like, who's going to sit around like, you know, you live, you know, half an hour away and you're like, "Shit, yeah, I'm going to go to WWF New York for the pay-per-view." But all you see is people that don't want to be there. Why would you want to go? Like, hey, you want to go fucking grab a shitty burger and be around pissed off Billy? No. I'm thinking that's what they closed down. Maybe they should have just brought like Legends in and they could have waved, right? Maybe here's another good spot for Snuka or Nico. Bring Nico in. He can wave.
He can sing. Right?
He can sing. Bring the Rougeaus in. They can sit in the corner, have some poutine, and wave. Right? Be happy. Wave their little flags. We're all American boys here at WWF New York. What's more American than the Big Apple? Right? Like, Give me some happy guys. Everybody that's there doesn't want to fucking be there.
Yeah, and it just delivers a shit promo. Gotta let me know your thoughts on this. There's only one person he cares about, and that's him. How does he feel? That's pathetic.
Yeah. Not good.
That's what he's going with.
Not good. You know, I will say this, though. I like that it was more connected than JL's.
It sucks to say, but yeah.
Yeah. It's not a good promo, but at least it was connected. He talked about how he was the King of the Ring. Didn't even get an invite to the tournament. Like, those are good things. It all connected. Not a good promo, but yeah, I like that it was connecting.
They got Edge and Angle in the King of the Ring final up next. Again, they're talking about nobody winning the thing twice. I still think they're wrong. So Hart won it in 91 and 93.
Yeah.
They weren't 2 years in a row.
No.
Whatever, but he still did win it twice.
He won it twice, yeah. Just
spewing lies here.
Of course.
Kirk gets on the mic, says he's sorry for getting mad at Edge last week. Doesn't want anything to get in the way of their friendship. Tries to convince Edge to forfeit to preserve their friendship so that Kirk could be fresh for his street fight later on. Edge responds with a big right hand. It's on, says Kurt. He grabs Edge. Belly to belly, throws him over the top.
Yeah, beautiful.
So good. Continues to work over that injured midsection. We got the guy with the horn in the crowd again. Now they're battling in and out of the ring. Angle with the upper hand. He goes up top. Edge drop kicks him off his perch. And Edge connects with a Hurricane Rana from the top for a 2.5. We get a big slingshot. Edge slingshots Angle and they exchange reversals. Christian comes out. But Edge seems like he hasn't won. Edge takes out the ref. Angle locks in the ankle lock. Edge is tapping, but the ref's out. And then Shane McMahon appears again. So it spears Kurt. Edge hits the Impaler DDT. Gets the win. We got new King of the Ring, and it's Edge.
Should have been Kurt. It's the first thing. Christian coming out down the aisle, breaking up the count, and then just leaving. Could have done without that. It was unnecessary. Didn't need it.
Right.
Shane costing Angle the win makes sense. So, like, that part of it I'm okay with. But goddamn if Kurt Angle isn't just a stud. Right? Just a absolute 100% full-on stud. Right? He should be used for breeding at this point. He's so fucking good. That's what a stud does, right? They just fuck them all. He should have had as many kids as Genghis Khan. This guy is so fucking good at wrestling.
Could have had his own promotion.
He could have had. He should have. He should have been out there like, you know, Daddy Dudley, just plowing babes from town to town. Wrestling would be in a better spot right now.
Well, he's too busy training, man.
Well, and wrestling's still pretty good right now, too. It's a good. Didn't think about that. Either way, right? But you get what I'm saying.
Oh, he's the man. He dominated both of those matches against, you know, the 6-time tag team champions. Yeah. And he got screwed.
Yeah. So it was. I would have liked to have seen Kurt win it again, but I do like the Shane costing of it. It kind of brings everything together.
No fanfare.
None.
Get Doc Hendricks out there with the damn cape and crown to give to him.
Well, the cool thing, too, is like they had a giant throne was the set. How fucking awesome would it have been if he would have climbed up and like stood on the giant throne, right? They had a little scepter and a fucking the old cape gimmick crown. Put him on. Like that would have made a great shot, too. That would have made a great visual. Him standing on the giant throne, or it would have been funny because it would have made him look like a little baby on a big throne.
they barely even acknowledge it, man.
Right. Yeah, it was a miss.
Well, another miss. We got Taz in the back. We got Benoit. Now he wants to know if Benoit is bringing that belt to WCW. So as far as I know, WCW is no more. Where are they bringing the belt?
What do you mean, where they're bringing the belt?
WCW doesn't really exist anymore, does it?
No, not really. But I mean, so funny thing is that they were trying to relaunch this, relaunch WCW. They were trying to find a network. JR was trying to bring talent in. They were going to do a WCW, which, damn, I mean, I still would do it. I'd do it right now. I would make Thursday or Friday night's WWE programming WCW, right? I think there's still value in it.
Today.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Still value in it. But they did try to do it back then. It just never really got off the ground. I think no network was the biggest problem, I think. I don't remember for sure.
So Edge is being interviewed by a coach, and he says he reeks of royalty. The era of awesomeness begins. This is all great. Where's your crown? Where's your scepter?
Right.
Where's your Vespa virgins? Come on, give them something.
Fuck, man. That's all the way back to the first episode we did. Vestal. Not the Vespa virgins, man. They're not riding around on scooters.
That'd be pretty sweet, right?
That would be, right. Right. I mean, if you're not into a Vestal virgin, maybe you could get a pro. Maybe there's a couple of them still left over from Godfather in the back somewhere.
No sign of Goodfather, right to censor here. A lot of guys are missing.
Yeah.
From our last show, but Kurt Angle got two matches down, one to go. He's in the back. He's pacing around. He's pissed. Yelling at the security guys. Doesn't care about WCW and if their kids starved to death. He's talking about the WCW employees and stuff not having jobs.
Right. I think it sounds right.
Pretty intense Kurt Angle here.
Yeah. It's a little much.
And we got Jeff Hardy and X-Pac, the light heavyweight title, and probably the biggest injustice of the season. We got Jerry Lynn making his case last month at WWF New York to be on the big show.
Yep.
They finally put his damn belt on the big show, and he's not there. I didn't even want to watch the match.
You know, I didn't either, but it wasn't because of that. It's because of that fucking nard with legs, Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, he's got one of them see-through shirts on, purple and orange hair this time. JR tells us our next show is going to be fully loaded. Sloppy head scissor from Jeff Hardy. A whole lot of power slop in this one.
Yeah.
They're battling on the outside. Hardy walks that safety barrier on the outside, hits Pack with a flying man. Back in the ring, he goes for that whisper in the wind flippy guy and misses.
Yeah, that was great. You know, at this point, I like him like so little. I almost forget that it's like you know, scripted. So when he does like miss, I get happy. So when he missed that, I laughed. I wrote down first day trying that bitch. But I know it's not. I know he's done it numerous times. He's done it successfully. But I like him so little. I'm just like, ah, bitch.
I think he's the reigning champion heading into this one.
He is.
We get a classic spot from X-Pac where he locks in that abdominal stretch and he grabs the top rope for some extra leverage while the ref isn't looking. And he does a hip toss to Jeff over the top.
That's a sweet move.
I like that, too.
Yeah.
Whole sequence.
Yeah.
It's a big flying man doing on the outside. Big spinning heel kick. And they talk about X-Pac's educated feet. Goes for the Bronco Buster, and Jeff moves. And then there's a pretty bad botch here that I'm going to blame on Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's almost like a bad leapfrog.
Yeah.
It's going into the corner. It was very funky looking. And I think you're right to blame Jeff Hardy. Because if you're putting those two together and you just said, hey, pick one who's the more likely to botch in the situation, it's going to be Jeff Hardy. It could have been a situation where neither one of them were on the same page. Sure, sure, sure. But I think you and I and all of our listeners can kind of all agree. Jeff is kind of a botched champion and a bitch. So we blame Jeff Hardy on this show.
Yeah, so after Jeff just totally blows the spot there, he ends up hitting back-to-back splashes. Can't put him away. Pac tries calling a timeout. And then Jeff goes for a 10 count. Takes his shirt off. The ladies go wild. Pac hits the X Factor and gets a 3. But Jeff had his foot on the rope. The referee negs on the 3 count. Goes for another X Factor. He's countered with the jawbreaker. And then Hardy goes up. Top gets hung out to dry with his ball bag on the turnbuckle. Always like to see it. Jeff fights him off, though. Ultimately nailing the Swanton to win and retain the title. And JR acknowledges that X-Pac dominated all but the final 30 seconds of the match.
So that's another thing, like going through this. X-Pac's better suited to be the light heavyweight champion.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not even close. I don't like that the ref counted 3 and then went, oh, no, change. Like, no. I don't like that. Even though it's the right call. Catch it or don't catch it. I don't like him being half pregnant on that call. Right? I don't like that. I like Pac. I don't like Jeff. So it was not a horrible watch, but
he stole Jerry Lynn's spot.
Pac and Jerry. That makes it move.
Well, you know what made it?
Anything Jeff doesn't make it move.
You know what made it move a little bit? Seeing Regal and Tajiri in the back.
Yeah.
I love seeing Tajiri with the khakis and the polo shirt in the sidekick.
This is fucking gold, man.
They're happy to have a new king, and Austin wanders into the office. Can't get his phone to work, so he helps himself to Regal's phone and calls Vince.
It's the fucking 19 fucking 12 phone.
Vince, this is Stone Cold Steve Austin, WWF champion.
Hey, Vince, it's Steve. Steve Austin.
WWF champion.
It's just so fucking brilliant. Like, he doesn't know who the fuck it is. Like, is that one of the most recognizable voices on the planet at this point? Evans, Steve. Steve Austin, WWF World Champion. Champion of the world. And he just reiterates, yeah, Steve Austin. Is Stone Cold perhaps one of the funniest goddamn talents of all time?
He's pretty hilarious. We're just scratching the surface here, but
right.
Steve explains his predicament about WCW defection business. Says that he needs them and hurry up.
Is this your favorite version of Steve Austin?
Oh man, I don't know yet.
All right.
I bet he's yours, huh?
Yeah.
Well, give it some time. I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. But it's like a new Austin. He's afraid. See a little bit of fear in the rattlesnake.
Well, he's not afraid. He just wants to make sure everything, you know, is going to be okay. And he needs Vince. And he loves him.
We get some more footage. DDP getting out of his car. He just pissed. He gets out of his seat, grabs a mic, gets into the ring, and demands that the Taker come out. We see Sarah on camera. Says it's time for DDP to become famous. Oh boy, this is what he wanted, right?
Yeah.
JR says, put the women and children to bed. We're rolling. Out comes the Undertaker. Got no bikes, no shades, He's taking his time, putting his gloves on. This is probably like the closest to like regular guy Undertaker that we ever get.
Yeah. It looks very odd. Very odd. How do I put this? He's dressed like middle-class dad. Lower middle-class dad, even. Right. Just regular. They look like just your regular, like, run-of-the-mill Walmart brand blue jeans. Right? Nothing wrong with that. Like, not you want to wear them, right? But he's a fucking superstar in the World Wrestling Federation. There should be something a little bit different. And they're not like your dark blues. They're your light blue denims. Comes out, and then he puts the gloves on, which I get. You put the gloves on because you're about to go to work. Right? That makes sense to me. But there was not a lot here that I was like, I don't know, horny about. And I should have been pretty horny about it. They should, in my mind, they should not be getting to fisticuffs unless it's a scuffle in the back, maybe, you know, until they actually get like a match. That's when I want to see it happening. And this isn't even a match. This is just an ass whooping.
Right. JR says they're fighting for free tonight. I mean, Paige lands an arch plow, gets a little offense in, but it's mostly all dead man. And Sarah comes in there with her camera, shooting the ass kicking for posterity, I guess. JR says we need a SWAT team out here. And Paige tries to call a timeout, too. Everybody's trying to call a timeout here. Gets kicked right in the face. Pretty shitty angle in the works here.
Yeah.
Not remembered very fondly.
No. And it's not needed. Right? And then you have her come out with the camera, and I guess maybe that's revealing that she's getting her payback. Like, oh, I'm filming him. It's not needed. DDP bails. He's gone. He's over it. But she keeps filming. And now she's filming the Taker. It's just her and Taker in the ring. Why is she still filming? I went to this weird like train of thought, too. I was like, is she going to keep filming? Is she going to release tapes of, like, POV, I'm getting drilled by the Undertaker? Like, because there's no reason for it, right? The whole reason for it was, like, it was a payback of recording. Like, you recorded me in my most personal situations. I mean, and from what we know, we didn't see her take a dump, right? She was just in the back.
Right.
She's at her house, right? That kind of stuff. So she comes out, and now I'm filming you in front of everybody. Is that a double down on it? Like, and I know everybody else is filming you, including all the cameras in the arena, but now I also have my own video. Like, fucking stupid, right? It doesn't make sense. And then he leaves. He's gone. Turn the camera off. Put it down. No, no, no. Not Sarah. I think she's a little fucking sick and twisted because she just keeps on recording Undertaker for no reason. There's no reason for it. And I was like, oh, yeah. Drill me, dead man. Drill me. Put it down. Right? I think she's the one that has this camera fetish.
Well, fortunately, we got Stone Cold Steve Austin bookending that segment. He's shown in the back asking somebody how long it takes to get from Greenwich to the arena.
Fucking again, genius. So, and also, man, on this one, part of the genius is the fucking dolt that's standing outside. That guy sucks, and Austin made him fucking gold. He goes, how long does it take to get here from Greenwich? And the guy who sucks goes, I don't know. And then Austin goes, Greenwich, Connecticut. And the fucking guy says back, hour and a half. What? How far does it take? Or how long does it take to get from Greenwich to here? I don't know. Greenwich, Connecticut. Hour and a half. He didn't look at anything. He didn't look at a map. He didn't pull out his phone and look it up. He didn't make a phone call and say, hey, does anybody know how long it takes? No. What the fuck do you think he was talking about? Greenwich, Ontario?
Steve's hoping there'll be just enough time for him to get there. Stone Cold tells him where he can be found in room 4, just down the hall there. And the stooge says he'll pass the message along. You got a package leading up to the street fight that you were talking about a little earlier about Angle trying to create his Olympic winning ceremony. Shane interrupting him. Seen a few clips of Stacy. Probably made a move.
Yeah.
And Angle made the challenge on SmackDown for a street fight. He's a mere mortal, whereas Kurt, he's a superhero. So here it is, man. Kurt Angle taking on Shane McMahon in a street fight. Got Shane out first with the red jersey and the blue pants. Third match of the night for Kurt. He don't even seem winded.
He doesn't.
This might rival Hitman Hart's three matches at the 93 event. What do you think? Season one?
I don't know, man. So, Hart was in three tournament matches. Angle's in two tournament matches. In a street fight.
A damn street fight.
Damn street fight. I'm not sure. That's a good. I guess I would have to go back and kind of watch them side by side. It might.
We'll come it back might. To it.
I can guarantee there was less bullshit in the Bret Hart matches, though.
Well, Kurt gets busted open early on. He gets down in the position a couple times. Oh, yeah.
He gets on all fours. Come on. Like it's like an actual amateur wrestling match. I just don't know that, like, in my mind, I don't get on all fours. Like, that's not who I am. I don't get on all fours and go, come on. Get on me. Get on top of me and I'm going to beat you off. Because that's what I do when men get on top of me. I beat them off.
That's your move?
That's my move. Come on, get in here. Get on top of me. I'm going to beat you off.
We're told that Angle's got a doctor's degree in suplex school. We see a whole shitload of suplex in this one. However, Shane's got a lot of big wins in last man standing matches. Beat the show and he beat his daddy so far this season. He's kind of cracked the code there a little bit.
Right.
Shane gets chased around the ring and then climbs up on the guardrail, does a flying clothesline. Finds the kendo, goes to town. We get back in the ring, and Shane goes for a pin, gets a two. I had last man standing and street fight confused. I didn't realize we were counting the three count.
So you're about as confused as the official, then. Because the official also was asking for a rope break early in the match.
Oh.
It's a street fight.
Nobody knows.
No.
Shane goes under the ring, grabs some signs, trash cans. Clobbers Angle with the handicap parking sign. Shane goes for a sharpshooter, looking rough.
It's a CC, maybe C minus sharpshooter.
Yeah. Takes a while to lock it in. Then Kurt grabs the kendo, nails Shane in the ass with it to get out of it. Pretty good. Also pretty good. Angle swings the kendo and Shane jumps to evade the spot. But he hits the ref. Real back and forth at this point. Shane plunks Angle with the trash can and then goes to the top for a shooting star press. That looks a little scary.
Well, but it's not bad looking, though. Like, his shooting star press, the execution of it, looked great.
Yeah, yeah.
I would be concerned, like, landing on that trash can that's already dented up a little bit.
Shane's pretty fearless.
He is.
He was just looking for his daddy's love, if we're to believe that documentary.
Why don't you love me, daddy? Shane McMahon, your son.
Yeah, they're battling up the ramp. Shane delivers a suplex and gets his head rammed into a piece of the staging area. Kurt delivers a belly-to-belly onto the King of the Ring glass, but it doesn't break. His head bounces off the ground.
It's rad, man.
Tries it again. This time he goes through the glass. Hell of a spot. Yeah. Unreal. I guess, you know, Shane told him, throw me through it again.
Right.
You know, looked like he killed him the first time.
Yeah. Well, he's committed to the spot. He's committed to the bit. It's a great job.
Right. That was your spot of the year there.
Yeah. 100%. Well, I mean, so before we get to the next spot here, I want to say this. It's been a while since I've been able to say this. This match is so fucking good.
Oh,
it
yeah?
is amazing, man. Like, and we haven't even got to the next spot after he's thrown him through one of the panes of glass. They did such a beautiful job of intertwining street fight and amateur wrestling and professional wrestling, right? It wasn't just spots. There was some grappling. There was some insight. They wove things together so beautifully. This match is so fucking good. I mean, I'm sitting there with a hard on, right? You could eat a frozen pizza off. If you wanted to, you could cook it first. They don't hold form that way. But like I'm saying, like, it is amazing, man. Like, just the ability to intertwine these different styles and not have it feel disconnected. You know what I mean? And it everything right. seemed to fucking work. It is so good.
You're usually a big critic of these sloppy affairs.
Usually not a fan. But even, like, the simple things like Kurt bridging out of pinfalls and not kicking out, right? Like, very simple things like that, like him kicking out and like rolling into a fucking sub, right? Like, very good job by them to intertwine these different styles and make it all work and have it all be connected. It's amazing, man. And then they work all the way up and throws them through the fucking plate glass. Oops, nope, didn't go through the plate glass. Try it again, and he tries it again, and it works.
And for good measure.
Why not?
Throws him through the other one.
Well, not at first.
That one takes a third try to get him going through that. It's just a fucking mess out there. Glass everywhere. Paulie's talking about them three eyes. And Kurt's really the MVP.
Yeah, 100%. Because
He makes this work. And he goes, grabs that anvil case. JR's convinced he's going to just, like, roll over Shane with it. But no, he's using that third eye, the intelligence.
Right.
Rolls him back into the ring. Gets the two. Enough is enough, says JR. Then Shane lands an arch plow, hits an angle slam for close two of his own. They get an angle slingshot to Shane, positions him on the top rope. And he grabs a fucking piece of plywood, clobbers Shane with it, and then uses it as a platform to deliver a super angle slam from way up top. And that had to be it. Angle gets the pin and the win. But this is, yeah, it was almost a half hour, man. It was,
Didn't feel like a half hour.
It was real high quality stuff.
I think after the through the glass on the set, I think that would have been a good spot to really, like, that should maybe be the end. And they even went for the pin. And the ref said, no, 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 no pins. And you could see even Angle was like, what the fuck, man? Just end the match. Like, we got to fucking stop. Right? We're dying. You're going to make him bring him back to the ring? He's dead. Look at him. He's dead. Awesome to grab that little whatever the hell he called it an anvil box or something like that. JR did.
Yeah,
there's a damn anvil box, and he rolls him down there, throws him into the ring. Like, I don't think you needed all that extra stuff at the end. You really didn't. If you wanted to, you could have just picked him up, angle slammed him in the ring, and that could have been it. But they went for the Nards blow, and then the Nards plow, and then they went for the big angle slam off the damn plywood. It was a lot. It could have ended a little bit earlier, but it didn't need to. Like, it still had me. You know, it still had me in it. So for me, so far, match of the night, match of the year, man.
Match of the year.
Match of the fucking year.
All right. Well, that takes us to our main event here. We got Stone Cold taking on Chris Jericho. Chris Benoit, a triple threat for that world title. And Lombardi comes out, tells Stone Cold that he's got to get to his match. No sign of Vince. Austin says to tell Vince to go to the ring when he gets there.
And this is where that fucking dolt kind of made the turn on me. For being absolutely ridiculous, pointless, useless. Like just being a prop for Steve Austin to have comedy gold. But this is where he made the turn for me. Steve, I said, let him know. I'll be in the ring. Send him to the ring. I'll be in the ring. And this fucking jackass goes, yep, I'll let him know, sir. I'll tell him you're at the ring. He says you're at the ring. That's a fucking asshole. Not you're in the ring. Not go to ringside. Not like, oh, he's in a match. I'll let him know you're at the ring. Like he's got a fucking reservation at the Olive Garden. I'll let him know he's at the Olive Garden. No, he's not at the ring. He's in a match. He's in the ring. Those are things you say. Let him know. I'll tell him you're in the ring, right? Because you're in a match. I'll let him know you're in the match. Not I'll let him know you're at the ring. It just sounds like you're just going to head down to the ring. Like you're going to be a fucking special guest timekeeper. Right? Like you're Pam Anderson. Pam Anderson was at the ring, right?
Right.
Steve was in the ring, kicking ass.
DDP, was he at the ring?
DDP, now, when he was in the ring, he was not at the ring. He was in the ring. When he left the ring to go ringside, he was ringside. But I think there's a little area, right? We determined it was kind of international waters there around the ring, like in between the barricade and the, I think that's at the ring.
So
JR and Heyman, technically they could be at the ring.
They're at the ring.
Right.
With Hugo and.
Right. Hugo.
Ray Rougeau.
Fink. Right. Oh, yeah. At the ring. Sure. Now, Steve, you're in a match. You're not at the ring.
So first of all, is going to win this one. We're showing the power trip, losing the titles to Benoit and Jericho the night after our last show. Austin said he could beat them both, so Linda declares that he'll defend the title in this match here. Out comes the Rabid Wolverine first, followed by Y2J. Austin keeps looking over his shoulder like he's hoping that McMahon is following him out there.
Brilliant.
Challengers begin by double-teaming Austin, chasing him around the area into the crowd, giving the Rattlesnake a beatdown before he can even get his vest off. This time, Austin's got the black and white knee braces. Just mixing it up. Get some tag team knife edges from the Chris's in the corner. Really giving it to Austin. Loads of woos from the crowd. Austin goes for a Luthez. Y2J catches him with the walls. Benoit gets in there. Suplexes Jericho out of the ring. Austin throws Benoit outside and follows him out there. Grabs the title, tells Benoit that it'll never be his. Love that spot. Just rubbing their face in it. And Austin goes for the stunner. Gets thrown into the ref. And Benoit hits the stunner. But the ref can't count to three. Follows it up with a shot to the belt. Jericho breaks it up. Austin and Jericho take turns going for the walls of Jericho. Neither having much success. Benoit grabs a chair, goes for Austin, but hits Jericho, I think. Didn't really matter who he hit there, but...
No, and it is in front of the official, too. That bugged me, because even JR, before the damn chair shot, goes, it's not an oldest qualification match. And then he hits him with the chair in front of the official. Nah. No.
Austin gives Benoit the stunner, covers Jericho for a two. And we get a big superplex onto Jericho. Follows it up with another one. You never see that, back-to-back superplexes.
No. It's the only time I can ever remember seeing it. It's fantastic.
Not to be outdone, Benoit locks in five consecutive rolling German suplexes to Austin before getting booted in the nards before the sixth. Everybody's down. And we get that double submission.
Oh.
What do you think of this? So he submits to the combo submission, Austin.
Right.
Does.
Yeah, I have issues with this. Man taps out. This match is over. Right? It's the way it's always been. I submit. It's over.
Who gets the belt?
That's what I'm saying. He taps out. This is the spot isn't needed. Or he just doesn't tap out. Right? I know I'm a stickler for the rules. But if you're in a submission and you give up, the match is over. Ref's got to say, "Hey, it was Benoit. He had the crossface in. I like that move better." Or you got to say, "No, it's Jericho. He had that move locked in first." But he just says, "Nope, nope, nope. Doesn't matter that he gave up." What the fuck are you talking about? It doesn't matter that he gave up. It always matters when somebody gives up. That's the end of it. I give. Uncle. No mas. It's over. I hated that, man.
So you would have liked if he would have just given it to one of the guys and screwed the other guy?
Yep. Or just don't fucking tap out.
That would have been a good time for Vince to show up and help his guy out.
Maybe it would have. If he really loved him back.
We don't got Vince, but we got Booker T showing up. I think this is the first we see of Booker T. An invasion's coming, man. He really gives it to Stone Cold, throwing him through the announce table, saying something about WCW. And we get a real weak-looking security team coming out there. They don't do a damn thing. Booker T goes running through the crowd. And back in the ring, Benoit goes for the Rolling Germans again. Gets caught in the walls. Chris is battling out. Both go flying to the outside. Now everybody's down again. Got an interesting kind of way to wrap this thing up here. Jericho drags Austin in, connects with a moonsault. Broken up by Benoit, who hits the headbutt. Gets broken up. I think Benoit actually got hurt real bad on that spot.
Okay.
Because he's another guy that we're not going to see for the rest of the year. We're losing guys. We're losing guys. WCW's coming in here with some guys to recoup.
Yeah.
Anyways, after that, he lands belly to belly onto Jericho. Austin rolls over, covers Benoit, gets the pin. So kind of weird because the last offensive move was delivered by the guy who got pinned.
Yeah. Strange all around. I know Austin was injured in that Booker T spot, was he not? Well, that's always been the...
I don't know. Maybe he was.
I'm pretty sure he was. And you can tell his back's clearly bothering him. Something was wrong with the finish of that match. And I don't know how many different guys are injured at that point. It seems like Austin definitely is. It seems like Benoit likely is. Very strange end. The thing that watching this match, I'm not saying that this is a bad match or anything at all. It didn't really fully click for me. And coming off of that street fight, that was so fucking good. This felt lesser than. Much lesser than. And it is interesting to think, like, this is like, what, 6 years removed from Ringmaster, from Come On Baby, Jericho as the Lionheart, from fucking Chris Benoit going out there wrestling
the
and what looks at like Zubas.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I mean, like 6 years ago, removed from those guys not really having much going on. And now they're their main event in this pay-per-view. I don't know, weird ending. Didn't care for it.
What do you
best
think
match
of
on the card was a street fight.
You think this is the best show so far?
So, yeah. That was one thing I was going to ask you, too, because I think this is probably the best show we've watched. If you kind of take, I guess if you take WrestleMania out of the equation?
I think it's the best one since Mania, yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic show to watch. Enjoyed it. Start to finish.
It would have been nice to have, like, an actual match, Taker and DDP.
Yep. Would have been nice to have a coronation ceremony for Edge.
Right.
Like, there's things that they could have done better, and those are big things, right? Mm-hmm. The coronation ceremony, to me, is a huge miss. But altogether, I think that the high spots overshadowed the low spots and made me really enjoy the card just for everything that it was, man. I was very happy with this one.
All right. Well, moving ahead, we're not going to – didn't have the game here. He's gone. I think he might come back at towards the end of the year.
Okay.
Surprise spot.
I like it.
But Benoit is gone for a year, so we're not going to see him. Rock's doing the Holly weird thing.
Hollywood!
But I think we got Invasion next, right? We're going to see a steady stream of new guys coming in. So we got a little taste of Paige and Book here.
I'm pretty horny for this, yeah. Invasion, man. I remember this enjoying, I guess, the moment of the Invasion. You know what I mean? Like, it got super exciting there for a while. And then you got this pay-per-view Invasion, which we'll cover next time. I'm just looking at it. I think it's going to be it's going to be a fucking orgy of happiness. We got Edge and Christian versus Lance Storm and Mike Awesome.
Hey, that sounds pretty good.
Nick Patrick versus Earl Hebner.
All right. Probably worst match of the year.
Probably. You're right there. We got Chuck Palumbo and Sean O'Hare. They're taking on the APA.
All right.
X-Pac versus Billy Kidman. Oh, Billy.
Oh, man. We're getting like our dying days WCW and this season combined.
Yes. They're starting to roll together. Raven against William Regal.
All right.
Chris Kanyon, Hugh Morris, and Sean Stasiak, we got to meet, are taking on Billy Gunn, Big Show, and Albert. That's a weird six, man.
Yeah, that's strange.
Taz versus Tajiri.
That should be good.
Jeff Hardy versus Rob Van Dam.
Sure.
What do you mean, sure? Anything Rob Van Dam is good. Oh, Jeff Hardy. Gotcha. We have Tori Wilson and Stacy Keebler. Oh, yeah. Oh. They're taking on Trish Stratus and Lita. And that is a bra and panties tag team match. That one to DDP's personal collection. We have Team WCW. Wait, what is this? Team WCW East. There it is. Team WCW ECW. Consisting of Booker T, Bubba Ray, DDP, D-Von, and Rhino. And they're taking on Team WWF, which is Jericho, Kane, Kurt Angle, Stone Cold, and The Undertaker.
Mm. Lots of dream matches.
That's a lot, man. That's a lot. You think they're putting too many of those? Well, we can talk about it next time. I was thinking in my head, put too many of those big-time stars in the main event. 10-man tag main.
Yeah. I guess the world belt isn't on the line. And
right.
It doesn't sound like a tag belt's on the line, but that's something more important's on the line.
Right.
The sanctity of the World Wrestling Federation.
Right. Steve Austin.
Is that a one fall to the finish or an elimination?
I believe it says it's a one fall to the finish, which also I think that might be a miss. But I know we have Survivor Series around the corner too, so I want to be saving that type of stuff. Yeah, it doesn't specify, but I'm pretty sure it's just a one fall to the finish.
Yeah, it should be a good one, man. It was the highest grossing show outside of WrestleMania they ever did. So,
Invasion was.
Oh, and this one's got the picture that you don't like with the cover with the Shane and Vince combo.
I don't like that picture.
All right, man. Well, things are looking up. Good show. That's good matches.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle just reigning supreme. Well, I think you're tuning in. And we'll see you next time for Asia. Keep the dumpster bags. Don't forget to pull it out of there.
Handsome Kevin, you're gonna slide a one in there. And then you slip me one time.